Get ready to rock.
I was never a great Genesis fan, and I remember back in the sixth form, Genesis used to be discussed in a similar way to Monty Python.
Right.
I don't know whether you've heard that story, but I never really got either Genesis or Monty Python. I mean, there'd be the sketches, clinically dissected, repeated. Yeah. And similarly, Steve, you know, songs from Genesis would be pored over and analysed, you know.
Right.
It was very much a sort of a sixth former's thing, really.
Yeah.
But what I'm leading to, really, is one of the big aspects for me of your Genesis tours most recently is that you seem to have carefully updated the songs to make them more relevant to a modern audience. And I'm just wondering, did you approach the material with this in mind? Because it's brought something out that I certainly didn't think was there, really. And I think one of the things, apart from the fact that we all regard certain periods of Genesis, certainly the early period, was sometimes it was a bit quirky.
Yes.
But you've brought out the real melody in the music.
Well, in a way, my approach was to look back over seven or eight albums that I did with the band and just cherry pick some of the best moments that also allow me to play all the set phrases and all the written solos, if you like, but then if I want to add to it, I can extend tracks like Fly on a Windshield from Lamazan on Broadway and think, well, what would Hendrix have made of this if he had, you know, present-day technology and didn't have to kill himself with volume? There's just so much to it that you can choose from. Supper's Ready, I can extend the stuff at the end beyond the set phrases. So I'm obviously trying to make sure that it's got relevance to guitar and guitar fans, but I think it's a rich canon of work that Genesis threw up in those early days, and as I say, it's perhaps easy to go back and choose some of the best moments.
Yeah, well, you've certainly done that. Now, I think the pinnacle of the last couple of years touring in terms of recording and releases is certainly the Royal Albert Hall gig in May 2013. That was released this summer. We're talking now in early October 2014. Yeah. Now, how nerve-wracking is it when you know that a gig is being recorded for posterity like that and in the hallowed portals of the Royal Albert Hall?
Yeah.
Do great musicians just take it in their stride? I mean, were there any last-minute hitches?
Well, I think we had so many backstage guests that was an extraordinary thing, I was worried that they wouldn't all get in, you know, family members and what have you. But we had a sellout the evening, but I was just about to go on stage, and I was, you know, aware that here's the place where Holst premiered The Planets. You know, that place has just had everybody, from the Beatles to, how far back do we want to go, you know, the best of British, you know. I thought, and it's being recorded, and once we'd done one or two songs, I started to settle a bit, but I did feel that there was quite a lot to live up to, of course, with that. But it was also a great feeling, so I'm proud of the DVD, the Blu-ray from it, and the album that's from it. I mean, the band were extraordinary, and of course we had special guests helping as well. Ray Wilson, who was on Calling All Stations, so there's the Genesis link there. We had John Wetton, Amanda Lehman, and Roina Stolt from the Flower Kings coming on playing Return of the Giant Hogweed with me, there's a whole kind of network and the link between bands that either grew up in the same era or a younger generation of prog musician who's been influenced by it tremendously. So I feel as though I'm playing to people from 8 to 80 when I'm on stage. You know, Genesis did have, you know, a huge following way back when, but then there's a ton of younger people, and the other thing is that people have to forget the idea that progressive is just for middle-aged guys. It really isn't. I mean, it attracts women because I think a lot of those songs are very romantic as well. So I try and make it as accessible as possible, but retain the idiosyncrasies, if you like. But basically, it's entertainment. It's Genesis distilled via a lens of time, if you like.
We're chatting to Steve Hackett in early October 2014.
Get ready to rock, radio!
After this next set of dates, are you going to draw a line under this period of your career, do you think?
Yes.
And are you going to move back to your solo stuff?
Yes, I am. I've got a handful of dates in South America coming up in about March, April next year. Apart from that, that's all my commitments to all things Genesis done, basically. And I've just done a new record. I hate to use the term solo album because I always feel that it's as much about the people that I work with as it is me. But I've had some extraordinary collaborators on it, and I can't wait to tour that. So, you know, for a few more months, the museum will stay open, you know, but it's wearing my curator's cap in a museum of my own making. I love doing that, don't get me wrong, but the afterlife intrigues me perhaps more so. And so, you know, beyond that, it's been a very good run, this Genesis stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I think what it's demonstrated really, Steve, is there's evidently a market out there for the music.
Yeah.
No one else, you know, no original member is playing these songs in this sort of format.
That's,
I mean,
right. Yeah.
I assume that in future times when you're going out with your band, playing your solo album and all the rest of it, mm-hmm. you'll still be doing the Genesis material. But would you consider again in the future, you know, revisiting Genesis in a similar fashion, or maybe even showcasing one album?
Well, what I think at the moment is the new album that I've just done, in a way, is a successor to much of what we did. But then I'm taking certain ideas further when Genesis sounded a little bit like an orchestra in places. I've taken that further. So I've been saying for years I'm an orchestral groupie. I follow around orchestras and players and love what orchestras can do. Very separate atmosphere. I wouldn't rule out entirely certain pieces of music that first brought Genesis to the fore with the public. There are certain things that are unavoidably good, but I think there is this whole other thing. You know, people that got on board with me listening to, for instance, either Voyage or Spectral Mornings, some of the things on Defector. You know, maybe even the odd thing from GTR that I had with Steve Howe. There's so many different strands, and I hope to honour all of them in one way or another. And of course, yes, you know, I'm quite aware that people do go out and tour whole albums of bands' work. Certainly, Roger Waters has done that to great effect. But in a sense, of course, you know, if you do a whole album, you know, you are going for this thing, you know, the rough with the smooth, and you know, not every track perhaps is as iconic and runs as high in the affections of fans as others. So when people talk, for instance, of Foxtrot, they tend to talk almost exclusively in terms of Supper's Ready. So I figure that perhaps, you know, if you do your own cross section, as it were, if you ask people, that's really what they want. So I tend to sort of go for these concentrated moments. You know, I think, you know, what was best about that? What was best of Lamb Lies Down on Broadway, you know, what might be some forgotten tracks, like, for instance, Lily White Lilith, you know, which was a lovely little track that Phil had before it became a Genesis song. And then it was arranged in such a quirky way. And so I'm also doing The Knife with the Genesis shows, which was written a year before I joined the band, recorded. But I recorded a live version with them, and it was always the mainstay of the 1971 set. So I'm going right back to that and try and honour that as well. And it's in answer to what fans have said, you know, or could we please have a version of The Knife? Could we please have Return of the Giant Hogweed? So, you know, musicians have one view, and then the crowd have another, and I think it's the audience that are the true owners of this stuff. They understand it, and they get it in a way that the performers perhaps never will. And I suspect this comes back to the thing you were saying about six formers in the common room discussing the minutiae of what was good and what was weak about Monty Python, and similarly with Genesis.